Good morning. Welcome to worship this first Sunday in May. And who knows what traditionally happens the first Sunday in May at Little Shatar? Love Feast. Please come out this evening, all those who believe that Jesus Christ is their personal Savior. Please come out this evening at 6 o'clock for our traditional Love Feast downstairs. And we welcome each and every one of you in attendance this morning. Jamie has an announcement.
Good morning. I just wanted to say that all mothers and daughters are invited to the Mother and Daughter Banquet this Saturday at 6 o'clock. If you're not already signed up, please sign up. There's a paper on the table in the narthex. If you have any questions, you can see myself, Jolynn Light, or Jean Myers. And we will look forward to seeing you there. And I have a second announcement. Out on the Welcome Center in the narthex, you'll find this entitled Uniting to Prayer is for the annual conference prayer guide. And so we're being asked to pray for the compelling vision process coming to annual conference this summer. There are specific things to pray for each day from now, starting today, through annual conference in July. And we would appreciate everyone's prayers as we prepare for this journey together as the Church of the Brethren, and as we're open to what God is calling us to do together as Christ's disciples. So if you can, please pick up one of the prayer guides and start praying for annual conference and for our church and for the whole denomination. Thanks.
Any other announcements?
You are invited to every member council meeting coming up on May 13th at 7:30. This is where business of the church is conducted. The agenda will be posted in the bulletin the week before council meeting. One item of business is a vote regarding having one worship service throughout the summer months. Please come to share your voice.
One of my favorite sayings in life is, bloom where you are planted. Coming in May, on Wednesdays from 7 to 8 p.m., we will be having membership classes for those who are interested in celebrating new life, being baptized, reaffirming faith, or transferring membership. See me, and we'll be glad to have you join our classes starting in May on Wednesdays, 7 to 8 p.m.
Kids, get ready for an adventure in the wild with elephants, egrets, polar bears, penguins, cockatoos, and crocodiles. As you seek out exotic animals, you'll also find snapshots of real-life encounters with Jesus in the Scripture. Join us for Vacation Bible School 2019 at Little Sitara Church of the Brethren, July 15th through the 19th, from 8:30 until 11 a.m. Visit www.littlesitara.org for the link to register online in advance, or bring a completed registration form on the first day your child attends. Thank you, and we look forward to seeing you in the wild.
Please rise and join with me in our call to worship found at number 686. Let's begin. O God, you are my God. I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory. Because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. I will lift up my hands and call on your name. Amen.
Thank you. Amen. That was beautiful. Thank you, choir. We come to the time in our service where we share joys and concerns with one another, and we just want to continue to invite you to take your prayer concerns in your bulletin, keep those with you each day, and it's just a blessing to know the Lord hears our prayers, and he responds in his timing, not always the timing we want, but we just trust him and know that he has a perfect plan for each of us. So there'll be a microphone coming around, and we just encourage you to put your hand in the air and share any joys or concerns you may have.
Just want to lift up, Daniel Bryant. He will be having his test on Wednesday this week. And just the family is asking for prayers that the test results are conclusive and that further, more invasive testing would not be required.
Thank you.
I want to take the time to thank everybody for your prayers, your concerns, and all the many, many cards you sent during the time of the loss of my brother. Thank you very much.
I have a list. Please keep Curtis in prayer. Sorry. His court date is Tuesday, and then he goes on to a hearing in Dauphin County. Sorry. We also have a joy. Maybe Pastor Matt can help me here. Step-great-granddaughter, born yesterday, is in the NICU. She's doing well, though. Also prayers for her grandma, Jen, to get home safely from Bangladesh. Please keep all these concerns on your heart. Please keep Curtis in prayer all week.
Two gentlemen that put our computer system in just lost their mother this week, Corey Cummings and his brother. So if you could keep them in their prayers, it was a sudden thing that happened, and it was a pretty good shock.
Let's pray. Precious Lord, we know each day that you take our hand. We know each day, Lord, that you lead us, you guide us through this life. And Lord, each day has enough trouble of its own, let alone to worry about tomorrow. So we just focus now on what's before us. We know, Lord, the affliction of pain many are going through right now. We know the suffering that people are enduring. But Lord, we know it's all for your sake and for your glory. And we know that it produces endurance and perseverance. It develops character within us. But Father, we confess we don't like to suffer. But Lord, we know that we're in your hands. We are in the best hands that we could possibly be in. And we just want to place Curtis into those loving hands as he faces this week, especially on Tuesday when he has his hearing. Lord, I just pray you would give him peace. You would give him comfort. You would be with Burrow and Ralph and allow them to know your guidance in their daily life. And we just praise you, Lord, for the birth of new life. And we think of what that baby's going through right now and just ask that you would just continue to nurture them and allow them to know your presence in a mighty and powerful way. And we just thank you, Lord, that you watch over us as we travel. And we pray for safe travels for all those that might be on the road this week or in the air, Lord. And just ask that you would continually just remind us of your presence. Lord, we know each day, it's not just in church. We know each day you are with us. Your presence goes with us. And we are so thankful that you never leave us. You never forsake us. So, Lord, we just cling to you. We know that Daniel faces tests this week, Lord. And we're asking, Lord, that those tests would be conclusive. And we know, Lord, that you have had your hand upon the Bryant family for a long time, and we just pray your hand would continue to be upon them and that they would be given answers and there would be resolution to Daniel's condition, Lord. And just bless that child and bless that family, Lord, and just bring healing if it be your will. We pray for those on our prayer concerns this morning, and we lift up Carl Graby and Barry Gensimer and Linda Ziegler and Joanne Ebling and Xavier and Lester Bayshore and Kenny Ziegler and Joe Eberly. And we extend our sympathies to David and Sharon Hoke on the loss of their loved one, and continue to just lift up John High and his family, Lord, the loss of his brothers. And just, you know, Lord, what we face. You know what we're going through. And in this very hour, we just pour it all out to you, for we know there's no better place to lay our burdens than to give them to you. So, Lord, right now, we just purposefully surrender and say, Lord, we give this to you, and we know that you can handle it, because right now, Lord, we just can't. So, Lord, we just pray we would continue to be able to see the light at the end of this life, that we know that our eternity is at hand, that we know that this life is only fleeting, this life is only temporary. So, Lord, we just pray we would give you glory in all of the circumstances we face. And we do rejoice with the new life among us here in this congregation, and just continue to pray your hand of blessing upon them. We rejoice with the adoption of Avery, Lord, and just pray for the Black family, Lord, and just thank you for the many, many ways in which you show us your love and your compassion, your mercy and your grace each and every day. And so we just turn to you now, Lord. We know mistakes have entered our lives. We've sinned, Lord. And we know that we can just come before you and we can confess them and receive forgiveness for what your son has done on the cross. So, Lord, we just pray now for forgiveness of sin and also lift up prayers upon our hearts. Lord, we just thank you this morning for meeting us where we are. We thank you for being a loving God, for being a forgiving God, for being a God that shows us the directions we need to go when we seek you. And so, Lord, we just pray whatever order we have things in our lives, that we would place you first, that you would be above all things, that we would be willing to sacrifice and serve others and let others know your love by the way we act and by the way we speak. So, Lord, we just pray now the remainder of this service, the remainder of our days here on this earth, that you would be given all glory and honor and praise. Thank you, Lord, for the empty tomb, for the new life that we have, the transformation that you have given us. And we just look at our lives and we see what you've done, and we just praise you, Lord, and we thank you. So we ask now, Lord, that you would continue to be with us, your presence with us through the rest of this service and through the rest of this week, that you would meet us where we are each and every day. And thank you for being our guide, for allowing the Spirit to move in our midst. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We do invite the deacons to bring forth the elements. You may wonder on a Sunday morning why we consecrate the elements. Consecration is just a fancy word for saying setting them apart. So we ask for the elements to be brought forth to be able to just set them apart. These elements go out this afternoon and throughout the week to those that aren't able to be with us today for Love Feast and to celebrate communion. So we know indeed the cup represents Jesus' blood, and we know the bread indeed represents Jesus' body. So we just want to take pause and we want to thank the Lord for these elements and also to just ask them to be set apart. If you could just raise them toward the Lord, we would ask for them to be set apart. Lord, we just thank you for this bread that represents your body. We thank you for this cup that represents your blood. We know, Lord, our lives have never been the same since this act of sacrifice, that you have set us free, that you have forgiven us of our sins. So we ask, as these elements are used in our communion service, that we would indeed remember and that we would indeed allow these elements to be blessed. They would be set apart. They would be consecrated for your use and for your glory. We thank you, Lord, for the power that are in these as symbols of our faith. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
for an offertory thought this morning. I wanted to share with you from the a devotion from the upper room. So those of you who read this past week, it was Monday this past week, April 29th. Since I am a freelance writer, my income is not always steady. When my finances tighten, it can be embarrassing to admit that I can't afford certain necessities. The last thing I want to do is make my need known to those around me. But that is exactly what Elijah instructed the indebted widow to do in today's reading. By asking her neighbors for empty vessels, then faithfully offering God the only resource she had, a small jar of oil, the widow opened an opportunity for her family and her community to witness God's hand at work. God rewarded her faith and obedience with the miraculous provision of exactly what she needed. God encourages us to offer our resources and efforts like the widow did, so that God's power and loving care can be shown through them as well. Where we see deficiency, God sees an opportunity to show love and kindness to us. Trusting God with our energy and possessions is one way we can exercise our faith. What a comfort and blessing it is to know that whatever we offer, whether little or much, is made miraculous in God's hands. Please pray with me. Father, we bring these gifts before you, and we know that through your miraculous hands that they will be blessed and be multiplied and will do the work that needs to be done. And we just thank you that we are able to give in this opportunity, and it's in your name we pray. Amen.
would like to invite the children to come join me up front. Good morning. So how many of you have a pair of these at home? What are they? Yeah, flip-flops. How many of you wear them every day when you can in the spring and summer? Do you like wearing flip-flops or sandals? Yeah, it feels so good to get those heavy shoes off after a long winter and go almost barefoot. You can wear flip-flops and sandals just about anywhere, and it feels good to have them on. So there are lots of good things about flip-flops, but there's a few bad things about them. Can you think of something bad about flip-flops? If not, I have some examples. How clean are your feet after a long day of being in flip-flops? Long day of playing outside, and you get inside and you look at your feet, and what color are they?
Green.
Green or black or brown? Not very clean. There's no shoe or sock to keep the dirt out, so by the time you get home, your feet are filthy and probably stinky. In Jesus' time, they didn't have shoes and socks. Everyone who could afford shoes wore sandals. You can imagine what a stinky mess this would have made. In fact, it was such a mess that a tradition formed. If you were invited into someone's house, one of the servants would wash your feet. Do you think there were many servants volunteering for that job? Would you like that job, to wash everyone's stinky feet? Probably not. We've already established just how dirty these people's feet could get. Who would want to wash the feet of 20, 50, or 100 people? Do you think the principal of your school would do that for your class? Wash your feet? No, I don't think so. What about the president of the United States? Do you think he would wash his dinner guests' feet? No way. Washing feet was servants' work, and only the lowliest of servants were made to do it. So when Jesus got on his knees and washed the feet of his disciples, it was a big deal. Jesus was their teacher, their master. They had left everything to follow him. He was more important than a principal or even the president of the United States. They truly believed he was the Son of God. Seeing the man they believed was the Messiah wash their feet sent a powerful message to the disciples, and it sends a powerful message to us. Jesus is the King of Kings, and if the King of Kings would wash the feet of his own students, how then should we treat our friends, our neighbors, and even our enemies? Washing feet is a dirty job. It was one of the dirtiest jobs a servant could do. But it was not too dirty for Jesus. If Jesus was willing to wash the feet of men who were his followers, we need to be willing to serve others in the same way. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we thank you for being our King of Kings. Please help us to serve others with humility. Amen.
Thank you.
The morning scripture reading is taken from three different passages, and starting with Genesis, the 18th chapter, verses 1 through 5. The Lord appeared to Abraham near the great trees of Mamre while he was sitting at the entrance to his tent in the heat of the day. Abraham looked up and saw three men standing nearby. When he saw them, he hurried from the entrance of his tent to meet them and bowed low to the ground. He said, "If I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, do not pass your servant by. Let a little water be brought, and then you may all wash your feet and rest under this tree. Let me get you something to eat so you can be refreshed, and then go on your way now that you have come to your servant." "Very well," they answered, "do as you say." The next reading is taken from John, the 12th chapter, verse 3. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. And then John 13, verses 2 through 20. The evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" And Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." And Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." And Jesus answered, "A person who has had a bath needs only to wash his feet. His whole body is clean. And you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said not every one was clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example so that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." "I am not referring to all of you. I know those I have chosen, but this is to fulfill the scripture, 'He who shares my bread has lifted up his heel against me.' I am telling you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe that I am he. I tell you the truth, whoever accepts anyone I send accepts me, and whoever accepts me accepts the one who sent me."
What they say, a life lived for others is a life well lived. Yet we know our needs often come before others. There's this story about a woman who lived in a big city neighborhood that was going downhill. It was becoming overcrowded. It was getting noisy. It was dirty. It was a rather bad situation. So finally, she decided something would have to be done. And she knew it would involve money. So she started a fundraising drive. She called people. She sent letters. She solicited support from private foundations. Finally, she raised $85,000. And then she used the money to move out of that neighborhood. Problem solved, right? But she only thought of herself. She was pretty self-centered, don't we think? Another story tells of a cold winter storm. The snow was falling, getting rather deep outside. The roads were treacherous. The wind was howling when a doctor received an urgent call at his home. The caller said his wife needed medical attention. It was an emergency. The doctor was understanding. He said, "I'll be glad to come, but my car's in the garage. Could you come get me?" And the man replied in an irritated voice, "Are you kidding? Have you looked outside and seen the weather?" Again, the focus on self, not considering others first. And then most of us remember this story about two hunters who came upon a bear. They didn't know what to do. One man said, "I don't know about you, but I'm running." The man said, "You can't outrun a bear." He replied, "I don't have to outrun the bear. All I have to do is outrun you." You may remember the ending to that story. The bear came running towards the man, and the man knew he wouldn't outrun the bear. So he begins to pray, "Lord, would you please make this bear a Christian?" And just like that, the bear stops in its track, folds its paws, and says, "Lord, thank you for the meal I'm about to receive." You see, friends, all three stories were turned inward. What can we do to benefit ourselves? Yet the world we live in needs people willing to serve, looking out for others, putting others first, being willing to be last. In our scripture today, we see Jesus, our Lord and our teacher, take on the role of a foot washer as he and his disciples sat down to share the Last Supper. Jesus gets up, takes off his robe, and ties a towel around himself. He pours water into a basin and begins to wash the disciples' feet and wipes them dry. Friends, this is truly a wonderful demonstration of who Jesus really is. He laid aside his garments. He set aside his authority, his majesty, his dominion over all creation to be a servant. I don't know about you, friends, but that is quite an example. Jesus, the humble servant. Now, verse 1 would have put it into even more perspective. It would have told us that Jesus knew that his time had come. He knew he was about to face his accusers and the cross. Hours later, he would go to the Garden of Gethsemane, and it was there he would pray so hard in such distress that he would sweat drops of blood. Yet, friends, knowing this hour has come, his mind is on the interests of others. C.D. Meigs wrote a beautiful song entitled "Others," wherein he writes, "Lord, help me live from day to day in such a self-forgetful way that even when I kneel to pray, my prayer shall be for others. Others, Lord, yes, others. Let this my motto be. Help me to live for others that I may live like thee." You see, friends, this is the message of Christ, to become servants to others. Verse 12 and following, after Jesus had washed their feet, had put on his robe, and returned to the table, he said something very powerful. "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example that you also should do as I have done to you. Friends, this is where the rubber meets the road. Knowing what Christ has done for us, giving his life for our sins, dying on the cross, buying each one of us with his own blood. And we call him Lord and teacher, and yet consider how we live at times. Some of us are more concerned with others than we are the man on the moon. This idea of washing another's feet makes us think, preacher, get real. We don't have time for others. We have our own lives, our own families, our own problems to worry about. We can't be bothered by others, let alone washing their feet. But what did Jesus say? I have set you an example that you also should do as I have done to you. But what kind of example are we setting? The world looks at the church and here's what they're hoping to see: a source of life, a source of hope and joy, and ultimately, service. The question amidst our insanely busy lives, myself included, do we have time for a hurting world? And if we don't, are we failing as the church and our witness to the world? These questions I challenge us to ponder even now. Romans 10:15 says it very well. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. If we are washing the feet of those bringing good news tonight, Scripture has told us they're beautiful. You see, friends, it's a matter of separating our worldly perspective and to begin thinking spiritually. We need to look past the flesh and see what Jesus is doing right in front of us. You see, it's his example, not our own. Now, I can't dance around this fact. If we're not allowing the example of Christ, if we're not reaching out to a hurting world, if we don't have time for others, guess what those beautiful feet are? Let's just call them smelly. They're stepping on what God has called good. This is such a heavy teaching. But if we call him Lord and teacher, Jesus has clearly said, you should do as I have done to you. Have you ever truly thought about what holds us back from joining in the most memorable example set by Jesus himself to humbly serve others? Romans 8:5 says, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. Friends, we know that death is represented by flesh, but we know that life is represented by the Spirit. So as we look toward tonight, do we simply see feet, the flesh, or do we see the mind of Christ at work within us, the Spirit? Friends, maybe you've had a lot of smelly feet for a long time, and we need our feet washed. Maybe you've never attended a feet washing service. I just happened to bring with me my basin of water. And I'd venture to say, looking out there, if I asked for volunteers to wash my feet or to have your feet washed, you'd feel rather uncomfortable right now. And I think the issue actually is we're thinking of the flesh. We don't like feet. No one wants to take off their shoes in fear of embarrassment. What if I have holes in my socks or stockings? What if I forgot to clip my toenails? I figured I probably wouldn't have gotten a volunteer to place a towel around their waist and kneel down at the feet of someone else to touch and to wash their feet. So you may have been at a wedding where you've seen the bride and the groom wash one another's feet. So I'm inviting my bride to wash her feet and for her to wash my feet. And suddenly we realize we become the servant and the person who is being served. Now, this isn't traditional. You won't see this at a brethren love feast. We'll come tonight, men sitting on one side, women sitting on the other, and they'll wash each other's feet. But the reality is we are called to serve each other, to wash one another's feet. So as you watch this example of feet washing, might you consider what holds you back from attending a feet washing service? Friends, I know for many of us this has been a tough lesson that Jesus is trying to teach us. I may have even stepped on some toes, but friends, this is the Word of God. As we prepare our hearts and evening comes, Jesus said, "If I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet." May the Word of God speak to our hearts this morning. You see, serving others is who we are. Jesus said, "Do as I have done to you." And I'll confess, there's times as a pastor I get overwhelmed with serving others. It takes time away from my family to serve. I give up part of myself, and we each do. Many of you can relate to this morning. To be a servant is to give, and to give more and more. And I don't know about you, there's times I find myself saying, "Lord, I'm getting tired to serve anymore. Wouldn't you please just send someone else?" But then I hear that voice and the Lord says, "My child, whom shall I send?" And once again, I say, "Yes, Lord, here I am. Send me." Friends, we are called to serve one another as Christ has served us. Even those we don't like all that much. Remember, even Jesus washed the feet of every disciple. And friends, that included Judas. Can you imagine that moment? Jesus kneeling down and washing the feet of the one who was about to betray him. I get it. We don't all like serving others, even the people we do like. But it's fair to say, that's not the message of Jesus. Your feet are my feet, and my feet are your feet. Friends, there's no higher calling in our lives than to serve whoever, whenever, wherever, with whatever need. Come to think of it, we might even call that obedience. Obedience to our Lord and teacher. I'll close with a story about Arabian horses. They go through such rigorous training in the deserts of the Middle East. These trainers require absolute obedience from their horses, and they test them to see if they're completely trained. That final test is almost beyond endurance. The trainer forces the horses to go without water for several days. Then he turns them loose, and as you probably have already guessed, they start running toward the water. But friends, just as they are about to get to the edge of that water, the trainer calls out to them. Those horses that are completely trained and have learned to be obedient come to an abrupt stop. They turn around and they run back to their trainer. Friends, when Christ calls you as you're heading toward the watering trough, may we be found obedient. May we be found surrendered to Him as our teacher and Lord. Friends, we know He's done great things for us. And now it's our turn to do great things for Him. And might it start tonight with washing one another's feet. Would you pray with me? Lord, we know what you tell us. We know what the word says. But Lord, there is that earthly part of us where we think of the flesh and we think of what feet represent. But Lord, we think of the feet tonight in terms of the Spirit. And we see, Lord, you at work as you served your disciples. And we have been given an example that we ought to do unto others. So Lord, guide us, lead us, direct us, help us to see the true reality of living this Christian life, that we might come to the point where we say, yes, Lord, here I am. Use me. Let me serve others. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It goes without saying this morning, the opportunities are always before us. I pray in the powerful name of Jesus, we would heed to those opportunities and we would serve one another in love, that we would let our lights shine forth and our love pour from within us, that others might know Christ. And it's in his name. Amen.